If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, if you plop your Bible open in the middle, it should plop open to Psalms. Plop is a good Baptist word. And then if you plop the back half open, it should plop open to Matthew. And then if you count seven books to the right of Matthew, you'll find 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at the topic of stewardship, and I know someone's going to say, oh man, he's going to talk about money again. Wrong answer. Stewardship is all of life, guys. Money is a very, very small part of being a good steward for God, and you don't hear me talk about money a lot, and my pastor in Eastside Baptist Church in DeLand, Roger Wright, he never talked about money. His attitude was, if God has your heart, God has your pocketbook. And so stewardship is much more than just putting money in the offering plate. And that's what I want to look at this morning. We've been studying basic Bible beliefs. What does the Bible teach about different subjects? And so what does the Bible basically teach about stewardship? And one of the key passages is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And the key phrase in here is in verse 2. It is required in stewards that a person be found faithful. There was a football game, and the coach was really disgusted. The players weren't playing hard. They weren't running. They weren't tackling. They weren't blocking. They just acted like they didn't care. And he got them in at halftime, and his halftime speech, he just flat told them, you guys don't have a winning attitude. You don't deserve to win. And you see that once in a while when a team just lays down and quits, when they don't care whether they win or lose, when they become apathetic. In fact, at our football stadium at Carson Newman, someone wrote on the wall in spray paint. Now, why don't people from New York City write checks? They can't write that small with a spray paint can. Okay? But someone had written on the wall, the biggest problem at this school is apathy. And someone wrote under it, who cares? We're supposed to care. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And this abundant life is based on our attitude. The word steward here is oikonomos. Oikos is the word for house, and nomos is the word for to arrange, to set in order. This is the steward of a house. It was a slave, it was a free person, and they managed the household. They make sure everything ran smoothly. They were in charge of everything. They were in charge of the pantry. They were in charge of the storehouse. They were in charge of the bank account. And they managed everything for the family. We are managers of God. God set Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to be stewards over the world, to manage it for God. And we are stewards, stewardship. I want to talk about four things this morning. Why do I tell you four things? Because when I finish the fourth one, you'll know it's time to go. And I'll know it's time to stop. All right? So, stewardship's an ultimatum. God commands us. God gave, for God so loved the world that he gave. 1 John 4:10, God loved us and sent his son. God gave, and he expects us to give. It's the basic attitude of the Christian life. Matthew 10:8, you've received freely, freely give. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Full measure, pressed down and shaken together. Acts 20:35, that saying of Jesus in Acts you won't find in the Gospels. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God gave, he expects his children to give. We're all stewards. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Stewardship's not a department of life and an area of activity. It's a concept or attitude that affects everything we do. It's not just money, but we read in the responsive reading, Malachi 3:10, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. But it's time, Ephesians 5:16, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time for the days of evil. The average young person spends 4.5 hours a day doing this. You know, I tell my classes they need to get off of Facebook and get their face in the textbook. Okay? We're stewards of time. We're stewards of talents, our natural abilities, our spiritual gifts that God gave us when we're saved. 1 Peter 4:10. As everyone has received the gift, let him minister one to another as stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has gifted us and expects us to be good stewards of those gifts. Stewardship of the body. Wow. Do we really watch what we eat? Do we really watch our weight? Yeah, I watch it on the scales. You know, I used to play the game hide and go eat. Okay. You know, I've lost 70 pounds in the last 15 years. You know, my shirt size used to be junior missile. When I said around the house, I said around the house, okay? No, God wants us to be good stewards of our body. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Stewardship of the body. I bought Eileen that membership to the gym, and she goes to the gym, and I go and watch her. So, you know, and it's working. So, stewardship of prayer. 1 Samuel 12, Samuel says to the Israelites, God forbid that I should sin against you by not praying for you. We are stewardship in the matter of prayer. If we're not going to pray for each other, who's going to pray for us? Nobody. Nobody else cares. We're going to pray for each other and support one another in the body of Christ. Is it going to get done? No. Stewardship in our prayers. Stewardship in the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We are stewards of the gospel, giving it out to other people. Stewardship is everything. And God expects us to be good stewards. Stewardship is an ultimatum. Number two, stewardship is unpopular. People don't want to hear about it. You know why? It's unpopular because people are selfish. Me, my, mine, I. That's mine. I worked hard for that. You wouldn't have it unless God gave it to you. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from a Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Happiness, selfishness aims at happiness, but always cheats itself out of it. Selfish people are never happy, but they think by hanging on to everything, they're going to be happy, and they're not. Stewardship is unpopular because it's selfish. It's unpopular because they're backslidden. Wow. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart is right in his own mind. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own mind. Everybody's got an excuse, you know. Excuses, what is it said? My brother used to have a saying that he memorized when he was in elementary school. He who makes excuses is seldom good for anything else. Okay? Yeah, backslidden. The backslider in heart is full of his own ways. Backslidden Christians don't give. They don't pray. They don't serve. They don't put God number one. It's unpopular because people are selfish. It's unpopular because people are backslidden. It's unpopular because people are rebellious. I don't want God telling me what to do. James 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus was rejected by his own people. Stephen When he right before he got stoned to death, he preached a sermon, got them riled up, they stoned him to death. But this is what he said to the Jews: "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did also." It's Acts 7:51. Stewardship's unpopular because it's selfish, it's unpopular because it's backslidden, it's unpopular because we're rebellious, and it's unpopular because we're apathetic. Jesus said in Matthew 25, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, for as in the days that was before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the ark that Noah entered into that day." Most people take this verse to mean they were just doing everyday things, not thinking about tomorrow, not thinking about the future, not thinking about dying, not thinking about being judged for their life. Just everything going its own way, apathetic, no big deal, no skin off of my nose, let somebody else do it. Stewardship's unpopular. Vance Havner said the job of an undertaker is to make dead people look better than when they were alive. Okay? Now, I told Eileen I want to be cremated, and every time the Gators play, put my urn in front of the TV, all right? I don't think she's going to do that, but that's what I asked her to do. Vance Havner said the job of the undertaker is to make people look better than they did when they were alive, and some church members look and act alive when they're really dead. Boy, stewardship is an ultimatum. Stewardship is unpopular. Stewardship is universal. We're all supposed to do God's will. John 9:4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." Revelation 4:11, praising God in heaven, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Everything belongs to God. We are just stewards of everything we have. Romans 11:36, "For in him and for him and through him are all things." Proverbs 16:4, "The Lord has made all things for himself." Now, think about this. If everything is of him and from him, then everything is to him and for him. Right? If everything is of him and from him, then everything is to him and for him. Everything. All that we are and all that we have are from God, and he gives, as Acts 17:28, "In him we live and move and have our being." He giveth all things life and breath. God claims to come first. The Bible says that we're going to give an account of ourselves of the deeds done in the body. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We're going to have to give an account of what we did with what we have. We don't own it. We just manage it. But we're free to mismanage it. What if we don't take what God blesses us with and use it for him? Some Christians, you know, we're grateful for being saved, and we think that's all there is to the Christian life. Billy Graham said one time, "Accepting Christ as your personal Savior is the end of the Christian life, but it is the front end. There's a whole lot more than being saved." And that's what God wants us to do. Being saved secures heaven, but for heaven to mean the most to our lives, we're to serve God with all we are and all we have on earth. If we do that, we'll have a reward in heaven, and we'll have joy and satisfaction on earth because we're partners with God. Jesus said in John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We are partners with God. John Wesley said one time, even though he was a Methodist, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." Without God, we cannot. But without us, God can not. We are stewards. Stewardship is unpopular, stewardship is an ultimatum, stewardship is universal, and stewardship is urgent. There are 4 billion people on their way to hell in the world. Now, on paper, 2 billion people in the world are Christians. That's not the way I would define a Christian, but that's what they claim they are. 2 billion, that means over 4 billion people are lost, even on paper. 130 million people every year die and go to hell. 356,000 people die every day and go to hell. And the world is going to hell. Hebrews 9:27, there's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Christians are fooling themselves. If we say we have no sin, 1 John 1:8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are sinners, but we're forgiven sinners. You know, it's interesting. The people driving by on the highway out here, they see our cars at church today. And a lot of people have the idea, oh, those people in that church think they're better than anybody else. No, we don't, because we know we aren't. You know, we're sinners just like them. We're just saved sinners. We've been forgiven. And God offers that forgiveness to them also. It's a test of how Christian we really are. Are we a good steward? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Stewardship of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:2. It is required in stewards that a person be found faithful. That's what stewardship is, and it involves all of our life. And that's our commitment as God's children, is to be good stewards of everything he's given us. Now, the most important thing he offers us is the gift of eternal life. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to be. You need to accept the fact that you're a sinner. You need to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that he died on the cross for your sins in your place. And if you pray and ask him to forgive you and ask him to come in your heart and save your soul, he will and give you peace. So you can make that decision this morning. Betty's going to come to the organ. We're going to sing our invitation hymn number 482, All to Thee.